It's a relatively new thing, I told Deborah. She sat at the table in the task force room with me, Vince, and Deke standing behind her. I leaned over and tapped the page in the DEA book. They just made salvia illegal in Dade County a couple of years ago. I know what the fuck salvia is, she snapped. And I never heard of it doing anything but making people stupid for 5 minutes at a time. I nodded. Sure, I said. But we don't know what it might do in incremental doses, especially combined with all this other stuff. And for all we know, Vince added, it doesn't really do anything. Maybe somebody just thought it was cool to mix it in there. Deborah looked at Vince for a long moment. Do you have any idea how fucking lame that sounds? She said.
Guy in Syracuse smoked some, Deke said. He tried to flush himself.
He looked at the three of us staring at him and shrugged.
You know, in the toilet.
If I lived in Syracuse, I'd flush myself too, Deborah said. Deke held up both hands in an eloquent whatever gesture.
Ahem, I said, in a valiant attempt to keep us on topic.
The real point here is not why they used it, but that they did use it. Considering the size of the crowd, they used a lot of it, probably more than once. And if somebody is using it in quantities that large...
Hey, we should find the dealer easy, Deke said.
I can do the fucking math, Deborah snapped. Deke, get over to Vice. Get a list of the biggest salvia dealers from Sergeant Fine.
I'm on it, Deke said. He looked at me and winked. Show a little initiative here, right? He said.
He cocked a finger pistol at me and dropped the thumb.
Boom, he said,
smiling as he turned away, and as he sauntered out the door, he very nearly collided with Hood, who pushed past him and came over to our little group with a very large and unattractive smirk on his face.
You are in the presence of greatness, he said to Debs.
I am in the presence of two nerds and an asshole, Debs said. Hey, Vince objected, we're not nerds, we're geeks.
Wait till you see, Hood said.
See what, Richard? Debs said sourly.
I got these two Haitians, he said. Guaranteed to fucking make your day.
I hope so, Richard, because I really fucking need my day made, Deborah said. Where are they? Hood went back and opened the door and waved at somebody out in the hall.
In here, he called,
and a group of people began to file in past him as he held the door. The first two were black and very thin. Their hands were fastened behind them with handcuffs, and a uniformed cop pushed them forward. The first prisoner was limping slightly, and the second was sporting an eye that was swollen almost shut. The cop gently pushed them over to stand in front of Deborah, and then Hood stuck his head back in the hall, looked both ways, apparently spotted something, and called,
Hey, Nick, over here!
And a moment later, one last person came in.
It's Nicole, she said to Hood, not Nick.
Hood smirked at her, and she shook her head, swirling a shining mass of dark and curly hair.
In fact, for you, it's Ms. Rickman.
She looked him in the eye, but Hood just kept smirking, and she gave up and came to the table. She was tall and fashionably dressed, and she carried a large sketch pad in one hand and a handful of pencils in the other, and I recognized her as the department's forensic artist. Deborah nodded at her and said, Nicole, how are you?
Sergeant Morgan, she said. It's nice to be drawing somebody who's not dead.
She arched an eyebrow at Deb's.
He's not dead, is he?
I hope not, Deborah said. He's my best hope to save this girl.
Well then, Nicole said, let's give it a shot.
She put her pad and pencils down on the table, slid into a chair, and began to arrange herself to work. Meanwhile, Deborah was looking over the two men Hood had brought in. What happened to these two, she said to Hood. He shrugged and looked preposterously innocent.
What do you mean? He said.
Deb stared at Hood a little longer. He shrugged and leaned against the wall, and she turned her attention back to the prisoners.
Bonjour, she said.
Neither of them said anything. They just looked at their feet until Hood cleared his throat. Then the one with the swollen eye jerked his head up and looked at Hood nervously. Hood nodded toward Deborah, and the prisoner turned to her and began to speak in rapid Creole. For some quixotic reason, Deborah had studied French in high school, and for a few seconds, she apparently thought it was going to help her understand the man. She watched him as he raced through several paragraphs and then finally shook her head.
Je ne comprends... God damn it, I can't remember how to say it. Dexter, get somebody up here to translate.
The other man, the one with the sore leg, finally looked up. There is no need, he said. His words were very heavily accented, but at least they were easier to understand than Deborah's attempts at French.